Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, would you get the light back there if you would? So one of those on the very inside will turn that on. So good morning again. God is good, isn't he? Isn't he the way maker? Amen. He's the way maker. Hallelujah. So good to see you this morning. He is just faithful and so good to us. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand this morning and turn your Bibles to a familiar scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. I want to talk to you guys about change this morning. Practical grace. Practical grace and grace alone, when received in its fullness, equals change. You cannot receive God's fullness of grace and not change. Amen? So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Turn to somebody and say, I'm brand new. How about you? Hallelujah. All things have passed away. Behold, some things are new. All things have become what? All things have become new. So therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's hold up our Bibles and say it like we mean it this morning. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to five people this morning and say, believe it or not, you can change. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me share with you this morning. It's so good to see your faces. I love you, and man, I'm so glad you're here today. Praise God, and glad you're watching over Facebook this morning. But I want to tell you something. If you're a believer this morning, there is a change that has taken place within your spirit. You have received Christ by faith, and when you receive Christ by faith, you have changed in your spirit, man. We are a trichotomy. We are made up of spirit, soul, and body. Earth suit. We have an earth suit. We're a soul, which forms our mind, our will, our emotions. Someone says it's our personality. And then we have a spirit. And in that spirit is alive now in Jesus Christ. And everything that we have need of now has been deposited in our spirit. Our spirit is perfect in God's sight. So 1/3 of you is perfect. Amen. It is perfect. It is filled with everything, all the goodness of God, all the blessings of God, all the favor of God, everything. In fact, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look at 2 Peter 1, 3. Look at this real quick. 2 Peter 1, 3. As his divine power has, that's past tense, right? Has given to us some things, all things. So anything that what? Pertains to life and godliness. Prosperity, peace, life, godliness, holiness, everything through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And so everything has been given to us in our spirit man. So in our spirit, we're perfected. The challenge that we have is getting what is in here to here. Getting what is in here, what God has given us here to hear, and then out there so we can experience and live it. Amen? So the challenge is we've got everything in our spirit, man, everything God has deposited pertaining to all life and godliness. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, me. Amen. It's already there. God has finished it. His finished work is complete. He's given us everything in our spirit. But the thing is, if we're going to change, we've got to get what's in here to here and out there. Amen? And that's where we get hung up most of the time. Because getting it to here in order to manifest out there can be a challenge. But God desires change taking place in our life. Everything in this world is changing. Everything is changing, right? How many enjoyed the beautiful trees this morning? Well, you know, a few months ago, they were real green, right? And a few months before that, they were barren, right? And a few months before that, they were this color again. Everything is in the process of change. God wants to bring about change in your life for the good. And the world has a self-effort thing they try to impose on people to change. If you do this, you'll change. If you do that, you'll change. If you want to lose 10 pounds, you'll change. Oh, by the way, this morning, let's pray for Bobby and Dutch. They're in Africa. They're on a missions trip and over there ministering. And also for Lisa Rodriguez's husband. He broke his femur. And he broke it on a treadmill while running. So the moral of that story is, don't get on a treadmill. So, bless his heart, man. He was in here with a cane for several weeks, and I thought, "Ready, y'all right? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I was having a little problem. I'm good, you know." And then she told me yesterday, "Hey, he's going to surgery in the morning. So don't get on that treadmill." But the world will tell you, if you want to change, you've got to do certain things. And it's kind of like, you know, we get to New Year's and everybody starts that diet. And then by the February 1st, the diet's no longer there, right? Back to the same. You know, if you ever had, how many's ever had a gym membership? Go to the gym February 2nd. It is full. You know, people trying to change. I'm going to get in shape, baby. Amen. And then by June, you can get on every treadmill, every weight, nobody's there. They've all decided. Because self-effort doesn't work. Self-effort, you know, it just doesn't work. Amen? So true change takes place when we realize what we have in Christ, amen, and we begin to transform what we have in Christ through our thinking to what Christ has given us, and then we apply that in our life. All right, listen to me this morning. Amen. So look over, if you will, for just a moment. Look at John 8:31. Change does not take place through self-effort. John 8:31. John 8:31-32. I'm going to tell you, change, however, can be easy. How many want easy change? How many of you got something in your life you'd like to see change? Come on, admit it. Everybody does, right? How many would like that to be effortless? God is into easy. God's anointing is not hard. God's anointing is not a stress work mentality. God's anointing is sweatless. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed," right? "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Jesus spoke to the Jews that followed the Mosaic law. The law was conditional and was based on self-performance, self-effort, striving to change. Amen? Listen, the law is much like what the world presents to us. The law says if you do this and you do it hard enough, you might get blessed. It's the same thing with the world. If you do this and you do it right and you do it long enough and you do it hard enough, you might see some effort. You might see some change, right? But God's grace is so much greater than the law that was presented. God's grace is easy and full of effortless change. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen? So, how many remember when Moses went up to the mountain for the Ten Commandments? Remember? He went up to the mountain. Dwayne Sheriff talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I want to add some things to this. He went up to the mountain, he went up to the mountain the first time. Remember, he went up to the mountain, there was cloud and smoke and, you know, the Shekinah glory, right? We used to talk about that a lot. The Shekinah glory, right? And so he went up to the mountain the first time, as he was up the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel were down at the bottom breaking them, right? And so, and then Moses came down from the mountain the first time, and he saw the children of Israel. And what did Moses do? He had the Ten Commandments with him, and he broke them. You could say Moses broke all ten. Something that you probably never, well, some of you may have, but I don't know. But something you probably never did. But Moses broke all ten of the commandments. And there, at that time, 3,000 of the Israelites died during that time. Wow. Right? Transfer over to Pentecost and Mount Sinai was there, but we're on Mount Zion, where Pentecost took place, and on Mount Zion, where Pentecost took place, and the Holy Spirit was poured out, 3,000 souls were saved. So the exact opposite of what happened there at Mount Sinai. Are y'all still with me? So Moses went up the first time, came back down, broke all 10 commandments. There's something about that. There's something I want you to see in that. Self-effort, you can never do it, you cannot keep it, and why we have the Ten Commandments in the first place was God says, okay, I'll give it to you, but you know what? You're not going to be able to keep it. I am preaching it, buddy. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, man. Hallelujah. You won't be able to keep it. You're not able in yourself to keep this. That's why I sent Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Moses went up how many times? Somebody tell me. Once or twice? How many Bible scholars we have here? How many times did Moses go up? Moses went up a second time, right? He went up a second time. He went up the first time, came back down, 3,000 people died, and all of a sudden, man, he broke all the commandments, but he went up again. And I want you to look at Exodus chapter 33. Let's look at verse 18. I think that's where I want to go. Exodus 33, verse 18. Effortless, easy change. We're talking about change this morning. How do we change? Hallelujah. Oh, God, this is so good. I don't want to get ahead of myself, guys, but I want you to get this. God has got an image for you. God's image is placed inside of you. That image needs to reflect and shine. Other people need to see it. It is there in you. Hallelujah. Other people need to see it. And this past week, I took a guy up flying, and he was a pilot, you know, but he hadn't flown for quite a while. And so I took him up, and we went flying. And when you're flying and you've got someone else in the seat with you and they're a pilot, you communicate about who has controls and who doesn't have the controls, right? So I spoke to him through the microphone. I said, hey, man, would you like to fly a little bit? I took off. I leveled the plane off. We were just cruising smooth. And so I turned and said, hey, would you like to fly the plane a little bit? And he said, yeah, sure. I said, okay, your control. And so when I give him, he takes control, right? That's what's supposed to take place. Well, he did. He took control. But when he took control, all of a sudden we were going like, we were just in a level, smooth flight. And he grabbed a hold of the handle and started taking the yoke and started taking control. And we were going like this. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And I was going, oh, this ain't good. Amen. Up and down, up and down, up and down. And so finally I realized this. Now, this guy may be a pilot, but he has not flown in a long, long. Because what happens is most people, when they get in the plane, they want to manhandle it. And they want to grab it and they want to yank it. And you don't do that in the plane. It's very gentle inputs in the control, okay? So he wanted to grab it and yank it. And he was just, we were all over the place, man. So finally I said, hey, man, my plane. I had enough of that. So, dude, this isn't good, man. My plane, right? So we were coming back in, and after that, and I was going to land. And when you're landing, where I'm at is in an uncontrolled airspace, so we don't have a tower telling us. So you have to announce your position, and you usually announce it when you're about 10 miles away from the airport, and you let other traffic in the pattern know that you're coming in to land. You all stay with me. There's a story here, right? So I announced a 997 Echo Mike 10 miles east of Indianapolis Regional, inbound for landing, runway 25, okay? So then I got 5 miles within, and what on my screen, I have a glass cockpit, what they call a glass cockpit, and I have a map, and I have all my other instruments in this glass cockpit, and on the screen there, I have what they call ADS-B, an ADS-B in and out. So what that allows people with ADS-B to see on their screen is me, and allows me to see them, which is very convenient if you're flying, because it allows other traffic to show up and let you know that their image, who they are, is showing on my screen. That's very helpful, because you don't want to run into somebody at 5,000, 10,000 feet, right? So it isn't like a car, right? So we were coming in, and I announced 5 miles out, 997 Echo Mike, 5 miles out, inbound for landing, runway 25, Indianapolis Regional. Now it's 5 miles out. So I was about 3 miles out, and I was coming in. I started to announce again, 997 Echo Mike, 3 miles out. And I was looking at my screen, and I didn't see any traffic on there. And all of a sudden, here comes a twin right underneath us. It's like, dude, didn't show up on my screen. One there, I'm always watching for traffic. If you ever fly with me, that's one thing I'd have you do is watch for traffic, right? So I always watch for traffic, especially at those non-towered airports, right? And this twin happened to take off right in front of us earlier, and then he come right underneath us. Shroom. So I got on the mic, and I said, hey, twin, downwind on 25, Indianapolis Regional. I said, your transponder's not on. And the guy said, oh! Transponder in your plane is what puts out a signal that other planes can see it. And it shows an image of you on my screen so I know who you are. And other people know who you are. So he said, oh, and as soon as he turned that on, you know what? His call numbers came up. His marking came up. I knew exactly where he was, knew exactly what was going on. And I was like, dude, isn't that just like us? Man, guys, I want to tell you, God wants us to reflect that image to others out there. Amen? God wants them to know exactly who he is through us and who we are in him. Can I get an amen? So listen to this. I want to give you something. Turn to somebody and say, buckle your seatbelt right now. Because I want you to hold on to this, and I want you to get this, all right? You've got to get this. Effortless change. I want you to get this. Second time Moses went up. Moses went up a second time, and he said, please show me your glory. He went up a second time. Please show me your glory. Now, we have a lot of thought about glory, you know, like, oh, I feel the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is in this place. Anybody ever heard that before? Come on, somebody, amen. Please show me your glory. And look at what the Lord said. Go on down through here. This is so good. Then he said, I will make all my goodness. Does that sound like a harsh, hard, judgmental God to you? Come on, somebody. Does that sound like a God who's out to kill somebody? I'll make all my goodness pass before you. Oh, my goodness, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Next verse. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. Right? Next verse. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. Next verse. Amen. You shall stand on the rock, so it shall be while my glory passes by, all my goodness passes by, that I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Man, God is a good God, isn't he? Amen. Now I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts, but my face you shall not see. Next verse, amen. And the Lord said to Moses, and then he went out and told him about this. And he passed by, showed him all of his goodness, right? And then Moses came down off the mountain with the two stones, and his face was so radiant, right? Because of the glory of God, his face was so radiant, amen, that he had to take a veil and cover his face. Are you all still with me this morning? And he covered his face with this veil. because it radiated the very image, the glory of God. Amen? Grace is truth that sets people free. Grace is the goodness of God. Amen? I want you to look at a scripture just a moment in John chapter 1, verse 14. John 1, 14. Praise God. And the Word, everybody say the Word. And the Word. How many know Jesus is the Word? And the Word, effortless change. Turn to somebody and say, are you ready for change? Come and say, get ready for it. And the Word became flesh. The Word, the spoken Word, became flesh. Amen? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father. We beheld His glory, full of grace, full of favor, full of goodness. We beheld His glory. You know what I believe Moses beheld? His glory, His goodness. I believe Moses beheld Jesus. Amen? His goodness, His glory. Well, you say, well, Pastor, that can't be because Moses never made it to the promised land. He died out there in that wilderness, all the rest of them. He died, and that was it. He died, and they just carried his bones. He died. He was just like the rest of them. Now, I believe Moses beheld his goodness. I believe the glory of the Lord that passed by Moses while he was in the rock, Jesus Christ, amen, was the glory of God. Are y'all listening to me? Why? Because right there it says His glory, Christ's glory, God's glory. You know, have you ever heard anybody have the expression, well, he was really great in his glory days? Anybody ever heard of that? Are y'all still with me this morning? Come on now. Amen. Go a little deep with me here. You got to open your mind. You got to think a little bit here. I'm going to show you some things. Amen. His glory days. His glory days is the epic part of his life. The very epic thing of God is Jesus Christ. The very epic essence of God is Jesus Christ. The very thing that he would be the most proud of, his glory, would be his son, Jesus. That's my boy. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he said, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. Amen. Hallelujah. We beheld his glory. Oh, my goodness. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. And the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that you know is going to set you free. It's not through self-effort. It's through the glory. It's through the glory. Y'all still with me this morning? Man, you are digging this in there. I can tell you that right now. Amen. We no longer have to live under self-effort. We live under the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Old Testament, they had to obey the law as a guard, as a guide. Today, we just look to Jesus. We look to Jesus, and as we look to Jesus, we change effortlessly. Whew. Yeah, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. All right, let me take you there. Y'all need to get there because I'm going to get you there, all right? Just so you'll know. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Here you go. Are y'all ready? But we all... With what type of face? Moses veiled. We have the unveiled face. We all with unveiled face behold. Is it behold? Is it one look or is it beholding? Beholding is what? Plural or continual, right? Plural or continual. We all with unveiled face, amen, our face does not have to be veiled anymore because the glory of God has been presented here to us, Jesus Christ. He is the glory of God. I don't know if you don't think that, but I think he is. To God be the glory, to God. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. How many of you ladies looked in a mirror this morning? Come on, how many of you guys kind of looked in a mirror? It's really different. You know, women are more integral with details, right? You know, if they've got one eyelash that's turned this way a little bit, they're going to figure it out. Amen? Us guys, we just kind of glance, comb our hair, whatever, brush our teeth, and go on. Women, you know, they'll stand there and they'll do that. How do you know that? I have four girls, right? My wife and three others, right? Amen. And they'll stand in that mirror and they'll look at the mirror and they'll look at the mirror and they'll look at the mirror and they look at their image and they try to get it right and try to look beautiful. And I tell Holly all the time, she's already beautiful, right? So, and that'd be good for you guys to tell that to your wife, right? As in a mirror, as in a mirror. Over in James, turn to, hold that right there, hold that right there. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 25. Let's just start there. James 1, 25. Look at this. But he who looks, let's back up to verse 23. Back up to 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. If you're a hearer of the word and not applying the word. Good analogy was their day that if you go to a restaurant and you're real hungry and you just read the menu. And that's all you do. People can read the word. People can know the word, but do not let the word get into them. Do not allow that word to change them. And the reason is they glance at it, but they're not continually looking. It's like a natural man looking in a mirror. What happens? What happens to that man? Next verse. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. If we're just glancing at the word and not allowing that word to absorb us, not allowing that word to get down into our spirit, get into our mind, where we're acting on what it's telling us, then we're just like this man who looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets all the things he has in Jesus Christ. But if we, next verse. But he who looks into the, everybody say perfect. Perfect law of liberty. Why? Because as you look into that word and as you understand what God has done for you and as you look to that glory, all of a sudden you begin to change and is not forgetful here but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in all he does. Wow. Amen. So it's not a glance. It's a continuation of looking into that word and allowing that word to transform our mind. Back to 1 Corinthians. Would you go back there? Amen. 1 Corinthians. But we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror. The mirror is the word of God. The glory of the Lord. Who is the glory? Jesus is the glory. As we're looking into the word with unveiled faces, faces that are not covered any longer by the law, not covered by natural things, but opened by the Spirit of God, as we look into that and we see Jesus, the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed. Transformed. Can somebody say amen? Into the same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. In other words, we're becoming just like Jesus is as we continue to look into that word. And by continuing to look into that word changes us, transforms us, amen, by glory to glory to glory. Woo! Not by your effort, but as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord in our life helps us change as we behold Jesus. No, let me back up. As we're beholding, turn to somebody and say, transformation in your mind and life is not an overnight thing. It is a process. Amen? And as you process looking into the Word and seeing Jesus, amen, all of a sudden you begin to transform into that very image and you show up on people's screen. Glory to God. You're reflecting the glory of the Lord. How? Through your life, through your walk, through your blessing, through the favor of God upon your life. Others all of a sudden seeing you and say, man, what is going on with you? When you're going through the storm, you've got peace. Why you've got peace? Because you've been looking at the glory of God in the mirror. You've been looking at Jesus, amen? And that image has gotten inside of your brain. And all of a sudden, you begin to change into the very thing that is inside of you. Oh, that's good. Come on, somebody. Give somebody some praise. You begin to change, amen, and it's not hard. It's not difficult. It is so easy because Jesus is the glory that we see in the Word of God. He is God's glory expressed image. Look at the, oh my goodness, God, you are so good. Can y'all? Look at, oh, Lord, how I got so much in me this morning. You all hang in. Look at 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2. I love this. This is so good, Lord. Amen. Beloved, now we are, turn to somebody and say, I'm a child of God. How about you? And it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know this. When he is revealed, when he comes back, amen, we shall be. Do what? You should be what? You should be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. You are going to be just like him. How many want to be just like Jesus? Amen. How do you be like Jesus? By continually letting your mind dwell in that word and allowing that word to begin to change your life effortlessly by the Spirit of God. And as you transformed into that image, all of a sudden you're walking different, you're talking different, amen, things are beginning to line up in your life, favors in your life, blessings are in your life, amen, because of God's glory. Romans 12:1-2, put it all together right here. Paul put it all together in Romans 12:1-2, probably some of my favorite scriptures ever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you present your bodies, this earth suit, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is such a hard thing to do. Oh, I need to read that again. Which is your, turn to somebody and say, that's just reasonable. As a believer, that's just reasonable. That's what we do. We don't present ourselves to this world. We present this body to Christ. This is God's body. This is God's temple. Amen. Next verse. Amen. Love it. Thank you, Lord. And do not be conformed to this world, this self-effort, this way of thinking, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing. Did you say renewal or renewing? Did you say behold or beholding? Did you say renew or renewing? An ongoing, a continuous renewing of your mind to what you have in Christ through the Word of God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and very perfect will of God. That you may prove what is the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is I'm healed. You aren't hearing what I'm saying. The perfect will of God is I'm walking in divine health. The perfect will of God says, hey, I'm blessed to be a blessing to others. I've not only got enough for me, but I've got enough for others to share. Amen. The perfect will of God is, I know God's love is in my heart. He cares for me. He's not mad at me any longer. Hallelujah. I'm displaying the perfect will of God in my life. Wherever I go, I've got the image of God in me. It's working in me. It's in me, and it's coming out of me. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, I'm shining so bright today, people are wondering, what's going on with you? What have you been up to? Well, let me tell you, man, I've been up to Jesus. How about you? How the glory of the Lord, Jesus himself, is shining through me. They perceived in the book of Acts that these unlearned and ignorant men have been with Jesus. How could they perceive that? Because Jesus was reflecting out of them. Somebody walks up to you, man, everything you do just seems to be blessed. Why is that? Because Jesus. Man, it seems like when flu season comes, you never get it. Your kids don't get it. My kids get it all the time. Why are you not? Because of Jesus. Because I've been reflecting on Jesus. Amen. And as I reflect on him, and what was so cool, when Moses came back down that second time, he didn't break any commandments. Oh, Pastor, but he did not make it to the promised land. Turn to somebody and say, wrong. What? What? Matthew 17. Matthew 17. What? Moses didn't make it to, he did? Matthew 17. Verse 1. Don't mess me up. Verse 1, brother. Don't mess me up. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. Back up. Peter, James, and John. Peter, the rock, the law. James, the supplanter. John, grace. Grace was supplanted and took over from the law. Grace is what it is. He led them up to a high mountain. Amen. By themselves. Next verse. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. Does that remind you of anybody? And his clothes became as white as the light. Next verse. And behold, who was there? Who was there? Who was there? Who was in the promised land? Moses made it. Don't you ever let anybody tell you Moses never made it to the promised land. Moses made it to the promise. Woo! And I want to tell you why he made it to the promised land, because he had a glimpse of the pre-incarnate Christ when he saw the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you, there is nobody good as God in Jesus Christ. Amen. And Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter lifted up his voice, and Peter's really smart. Look what he said. Next verse. We'll just go down here. Then Peter answered and said to the Lord, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Like, he didn't know what else to say, right? It's like, dude, this is so good. It is so good to be here, right? Let us make here some tabernacles, Lord. One for you, one for Moses. Oh, my gosh, man. Amen. But I want to tell you, the goodness of God, as you look and behold Jesus, as you behold him, as fair as he is, as beautiful as he is, amen, as good as he is, as you look at that finished work of God, all of a sudden things begin to transform in your life automatically by the Holy Spirit, and you become more and more and more and more and more like him. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise today. He is good. Hallelujah. He is worthy of our praise today. Hallelujah. Let's hold up our hands and let's say it like we mean it this morning. Come on, say it with Pastor. I am the express image of God in Christ Jesus. My spirit today is perfected. My mind is being transformed into that very image. As I behold him in the scripture, the glory of the Lord, Jesus Christ. I put my mind on him, I put my heart on him, and I know effortless change is taking place as I look to him, the author and the finisher of my faith. Thank you, Lord. Today I declare that out of my mouth. I am being changed into what Jesus is. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Give God some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hey, if you need some extra prayer, we have a prayer room in room 3. Make sure you go there, and they'll be glad to spend some time with you and agree with you. But find 5 people before you leave and tell them.